This is Derek Favors, number 15 from the Utah Jazz. You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
3-point game, Harris. Pick and roll it. Favors takes it strong and one. Oh my. Watch Derek Favors take a leap right here.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, 107.3 FM, 750 AM. Last night, the basketball season came to a close here on KOL. The Jazz suffering a sweep at the hands of the Golden State Warriors last night. A 121-95 setback in a game that was not close in the second half. The Jazz had a little bit of a run. They cut the lead to 8 going into halftime. But after that, it was dominated by the Golden State Warriors. A lot of questions for the Utah Jazz, and we'll get you some more exit interview audio a little bit later on in the show. Right now, we're going to bring in Jamison Welsh from BelieveTheHypeNBA.com. He's joined us all NBA season to talk about the Jazz and other topics floating around the NBA. Jamison, last night, no big surprise. The Jazz suffer a sweep at the hands of Golden State. The Warriors have now swept two consecutive opponents, just like the Cleveland Cavaliers. It's been a long time since we've been able to say that. But definitely the main issue in this series with the Jazz just aren't good enough. I mean, it's that simple.
I mean, here's the problem. The Jazz have issues scoring. Defensively, pretty good team, even though the Warriors make any pretty good defensive team, you know, they make them average because that's what they do. But offensively, they have struggled scoring. And when you have struggled scoring, if you have struggled getting to 100 points, if it's a really, real struggle for you to get to 100, you have no chance versus the Warriors. You just don't, because even on a bad game, they're going to get to 105. On a bad game that things don't go right, they're going to get to 105. And if you can't get to 100, you have no shot. There's some holes that the Jazz have, but the Jazz are in a good spot because they can fix those holes. They can actually make a couple moves and be right there in the West. Like, they can make some things happen. I like their young core of guys that they have, Gobert and Hayward. Or two guys that are going to be all-stars in the West for years to come in their respective positions. They need an upgrade at the point guard spot, and they need an upgrade at the power forward spot. Whether that's Trey Lyles coming to his own or them making a move, they do need another option there. But they're in good shape. They have some interesting contracts on the books that they may have to move sooner than later. But the Jazz are in a good spot. If you're a Jazz fan, it's nothing to feel bad about. You lost to a team that's favored to win a championship. You have nothing to be sour about. But that being said, when it comes down to it, if they're in a rough spot because do they overpay George Hill to keep him? Do they, what did they do with Hayward? I mean, they're going to sign him and try to sign him, but how much is he going to make? How much of that ties up the cap? So they're going to be an interesting spot because here's the thing. You don't want to just bring back this same roster and be stuck in the same hamster wheel year after year after year. You want to have some flexibility or improve the roster so you can at least have a chance to compete for the Western Conference Finals or even the Finals. And that's the thing it'll be interesting to see with the Jazz front office.
Let's look at this realistically. Look, I was so happy when the Jazz made the move for George Hill this offseason. I thought it was a terrific move for him. I think 1-5, they're one of the best teams defensively in the NBA. But because of that, they do struggle on offense. As you said, you have to score at least 100 to have a chance against the Warriors. The Jazz only eclipsed 100 points one time in 4 games against Golden State. Gordon Hayward's going to get the max contract. He's going to stay put in Utah. He's not going anywhere. George Hill is going to want a near-max deal. You cannot sign him. And I don't believe that Dennis Lindsay will. He's a smart enough GM. I don't think that's going to happen. You have a team option on Boris Diaw next season at about $7.5 million. You decline that option. You have to find someone to take Alec Burks. He's got 2 years and close to $22 million remaining on his current salary. And I think you also have to at least explore the idea of moving Derek Favors. In my eyes, those are the main topics, the main points on the agenda for the Jazz this offseason.
Well, you mentioned it. Burks' contract is the one you gotta have to find a way to move that because that would give you some flexibility. You probably gotta tie a first rounder to that deal. I don't think you can just move that just to move it. You gotta tie an incentive around that one. But you definitely gotta find a way. And also, George Hill, that one's key. George Hill was good for the Jazz this year. He was solid. He was definitely an improvement at the point guard spot of what they had over the last 2 years. But that being said, you cannot, under any circumstances, sign him to like a $15 million a year deal or a $20 million a year deal. You just can't because you're not gonna. Your team's not gonna take the next step if you do so. They'd be better off trading for like Bledsoe or Brandon Knight or any other old point guards out there than doing that. Because if you do that, then you're pretty much capping your team off as a second-round speed bump every year, and that's what happened. But at the same time, Rodney Hood is the guy for me that has to take the next step. Last year it was Gobert. You know, I remember being on the show a few times last year saying Gobert is the guy, you know, the Jazz are only going to be as good as Gobert is, and he's gotten a lot better, and, of course, we've seen the production from that. Rodney Hood is the next guy. Rodney Hood is the guy that we're all looking for to see, can he take that next step? Will he take that next step? If he does, the Jazz are in good shape. Because if you got two wings out west, you got some action, because the Warriors got three wings that can make some stuff happen. You got two, you got some action, but you got to have Rodney Hood being able to, you know, be more consistent, because we saw the game three and a game, I believe it was game two, played pretty well. You know, had some good numbers, had some good moments, but it wasn't consistent. You know, game one, it was, last night, it was, you know, I know he had a little injury, but it was like, what's going on here? So if he becomes more consistent and stays healthy, the Jazz really have something there without having to add anybody, and that's key. But they have to, he has to get consistent, because you can't rely on Joe Johnson much longer. Like, that's not going to, you know, Joe got 1 year left on his deal, and who knows what's going to happen after that. So Rodney Hood's the guy for me that if he gets better, Jazz got something there.
You know, all in all, looking at this roster, Joe Ingles is another free agent. I don't think you can overpay to keep Joe Ingles. The Jazz, as an organization, have been loyal, sometimes to a fault. And I know Joe Ingles is a very likable guy, made a modest $2 million this season. Someone's going to pay Joe Ingles anywhere between $5 and $8 million. But another guy that is very interesting, he played quite well last night, is Dante Exum. Now, Jameson, I don't know if I've been unfair to Dante, but I've been harsh. And I know I'm not the only media member to be harsh towards Dante Exum. Last night, he showed a little something. And I have to wonder as if the Jazz kind of floated him out there last night as to say, look, this is what this guy can do. He's got a very favorable contract. He's due to make $5 million next year, and then you have the team option for $6 million the year after that. That's another trade asset if you want to improve this team immediately.
Well, with Dante Exum, here's the thing. When you're a top five pick, you're going to get, and you don't pan out as quickly as, you know, others have in your class or as quickly as a top five pick should, yeah, you're going to have some harsh words to say. Like, that's kind of the reality of the situation. And but here's my thing. Have the Jazz been able to develop guards lately? Because they drafted Trey Burke in the lottery, and he didn't pan out. They drafted Exum early, and it really hasn't panned out. You know, he played well last night. Got to give him credit for that. And you'd hope he can gain some consistency as well. He can find a niche in his role. I think he can be a good energy guy for your team. He's a really good athlete. And if he can find a way to run the point consistently, you got something there. But I don't know if the franchise is able to develop point guards. Over the last several years, they have not proven to do so. So that's a key for me. But at the same time, I don't think I'd move him just yet unless I got a great offer, unless he got an offer for him. But I wouldn't just move him. I would keep him. See what you got. See if he can take this. This is his first year removed from ACL. The second year is when a guy is normally fully recovered. And I'd see what I have going into next season. And if I don't see any improvement, then I'd make a move. But I wouldn't just move him just to move him. But, again, he's another guy that they're going to need some improvement from. They're going to need some more consistency from. If he can find a way to shoot it from three and he can find a way to run an offense consistently, then they have something. They have a good asset there. And I don't know if that's going to happen, but they have that capability. So we'll definitely see with him. He's another guy that you got to keep an eye on, because if the Jazz are really serious about this thing, they package some stuff up, clear some room, and get a Kyle Lowry, or even make a run at Chris Paul. I don't think Chris Paul is going to Utah, but I think you can get Kyle Lowry to go. And if you get Kyle Lowry out there running that team, then you got some serious action at being a really good team in the NBA. You got a chance of being a top four team in the NBA, if not higher. And then at that point, it puts you in a good spot. But they have to improve the point guard spot. That's the spot where you got it. George Hill's not going to cut it if you're trying to be a contender. I'm sorry. It's not. We saw it work in Indiana, and that's as far as it's going to go.
Yeah, you and I had this conversation last night via text message. Kyle Lowry, and I know there's going to have to be some moving pieces because Lowry's going to demand close to a max deal as well. You're going to have to pay this guy $120, $130 million. But based on what they have right now, I'm talking about the key pieces. He instantly makes Utah the second best team in the Western Conference in my mind. I mean, if you can keep the core together and bring in Kyle Lowry, this is instantly a top two team of the West. I would put them above, yes, I'd put them above Houston. I'd put them above the Clippers and maybe even above San Antonio, as we're seeing this team is losing a step or two. I think Lowry makes that much of a difference.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, here's the thing. You're expecting Hayward and Gobert to keep on getting better. You would expect some improvement from Hood, and it would a point guard improvement. Yeah, it would definitely catapult the Jazz, into the top two spot out west. Now, here's the thing with that, though. Do you want to spend that much money on an aging point guard that has injury issues and doesn't show up for the playoffs?
A 31-year-old.
That's more of a concern than anything else.
Yep.
On paper, it looks great, but Kyle Lowry has his issues and his shortcomings as well. So it's not as easy as it sounds, but at the same time, I think if they can improve it at that spot, they got to do it. But I'd rather sign Kyle Lowry for that money than pay George Hill. Like, at least Kyle Lowry's been an all-star in this league several times, and he has had some big moments in this league. Can't say the same for George Hill.
No, I don't think there's any question. Jameson, let's move on. Tonight we get Houston-San Antonio Game 5, very pivotal game. Right now the series is tied 2-2. It's been interesting. It's kind of been like a chess match.
That's weird. Here's the thing with San Antonio. They have some issues. They have a lot of issues. Kawhi Leonard, as great as he has played this postseason, there's certain things that you'd like to see a little bit more consistency from. In the games that they've lost, he's been quiet. And if you're a superstar player, like I like to believe he is, he needs to have a little bit more impact on the games that they've lost. In the games they've lost, he's just been kind of quiet and just kind of like not impactful, and that just can't happen. But he's their best player. He's the guy. When he goes, they go. LaMarcus Aldridge is another guy that, when he's playing well, the Spurs are almost unbeatable. But it's been tough to get him going. I know he looks like he's battling some sort of injury as well, but he's giving it a go. I expect Houston to win this series. I really do. I don't know how they're going to do it, but I expect them to win. I think they're the more complete team at this point in time, and I think that they have the more firepower overall. The Spurs, they're relying on Jonathan Simmons and Patty Mills, and those got a little bit too much than they planned on, and I don't know if that's the recipe for success. I just think over a series, that doesn't work. Now, it's tough to count out Popovich-led teams. It really is. But it's tough. If Kawhi Leonard isn't having a great game, the Spurs are going to probably lose, and that's the problem. Like the one thing that's always interesting is when you have a star player, the star player doesn't have it going that night for whatever reason. What do the other guys do? How are the other guys playing? And that's the thing. When Hart doesn't have a great game, the Rockets can still win a game. If Leonard doesn't, then the Spurs are in a lot of trouble, and I think we're going to have at least one more game of that Kawhi just doesn't have it going, and the Spurs just can't get anything going. So we'll see what happens. I think we have a fun three games, though.
Yeah,
we have a fun three games left in this series, and that's all we can ask for.
Same with Boston and Washington. I think we have a fun three games ahead of us. Jameson, it's always fun to get you on, talk some NBA basketball. Obviously, there's plenty more to talk about, even though the Jazz season has come to a close, so we'll catch up again next week.
Not a problem, thanks for having me, as always.
We're going to break for just a moment. We do have more Drive Time Sports coming up. We'll continue on with the exit interviews for the Utah Jazz right after this.